Romans chapter 1. I wanted to sing those songs because really every day we need to trust God. We need to believe the Lord. And that's why I wanted to sing those songs in the beginning. That's what the Christian life is. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 5. Let me get there. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this: By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you just guide us through this message and these three simple truths I want to drive home, Lord. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. We need to know how to live by faith. And Lord, I just pray that this message is a help to us, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a difference between the faith and your faith. If you look in verse 5, it says, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And then it goes on to say, your faith in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So that's two different things we're talking about, the faith and your faith. You know, we as Christians can exercise three levels of faith, though. No faith, little faith, and great faith. That's the three things I want to look at. But I want you to understand that the faith is different from your faith. Okay? Let's look at Acts 14, 22. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. And you'll start to pick up on this. Acts chapter 14, and in verse 22, Paul reporting back about the disciples and to the churches, and he says in verse 22, Acts 14, 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. He didn't want them to just continue in their faith. He said, in the faith. And now, turn to Jude chapter 3. There's only one chapter. Look at verse 3. Jude, all the way right before Revelation there, you'll find the little epistle of Jude. And in verse 3, it says this: Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. See, the faith is the Word of God. It doesn't change. The faith is Jesus Christ. We are to put our faith in the faith, that which doesn't change. Our faith grows and changes, you see. Let's look at, we're in Jude, look at verse 20. Verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We don't have to build up the faith. We need to contend for the faith because it never changes. The Word of God never changes. We need to build up our faith, our trust in the Lord. Let's go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 5. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Okay? Your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. So we don't have to add any more to the faith, do we? That's already settled and it's unchanging. What we're trying to work on is our faith. And we want to add to our faith because it can grow and it can change. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 14 says this: And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. What you believe in is in vain because you're believing in something that isn't true. It's just vain. Look at verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, if there's no resurrection, your faith, what you believe in, is vain. And ye are yet in your sins. So there's a difference between the faith, the Word of God, the unchangingness of Jesus Christ. He never changes. He's immutable, as the Bible says. And our faith, which goes up and down, and we can exercise it. It can get stronger. It can get weaker. We're concerned about our faith in the faith. You know, what would be, you think would be the faith? The unchanging, the skeleton or the muscles? In your body? The skeleton. I mean, once we get to a certain height, we're done. In fact, I'm shrinking. I'm not getting any bigger. I'm going the other way. Bones are collapsing one on another. But your skeleton doesn't change. You know, it stays pretty much as it is. But the muscles, they grow. I mean, if you exercise with weights, guess what? Your muscles are going to grow. And if you want them to get bigger, you're going to have to pile on some more weight. So you have to exercise your faith. And guess what? When you exercise your faith, when you trust God for bigger and greater things in your life, your faith will grow. Because it's in the faith, which never changes. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We have to learn how to trust God. And our faith will grow. It'll be stronger, be built up in the Lord. So that's what I want to talk to you about today a little bit. But the first kind of faith, our faith, talking about our faith, first you can have no faith. No faith at all. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark 4:35 says, "And that same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" What are we talking about? We're talking about they had no faith whatsoever. They had no trust in God. And don't think for one second that we haven't been there either. When we have not believed God, and it's caused us to fear. You know, one of the first things I see is we think God doesn't care. When we have no faith, we think the Lord doesn't care about our situation or what we're going through. We're not trusting Him. We're trusting in ourselves, and we believe that God really doesn't care about us. You see in verse 38, it says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow." I mean, he's sleeping through this whole thing. I think I would be very calm. If the Lord's asleep, I think we're going to be okay. He's not really worried about this. And it says, "Master, carest thou not?" Can you imagine saying that to God? Can you imagine saying that to God? "Don't you care about me?" I says, "You're one of his children," and you say, "Carest thou not for what I'm going through?" You know, do you realize what we say to God, as if he really doesn't care? How much he loves us and how much he wants to take care of us? And we would tell him, "Don't you care?" That's what happens. We can quickly accuse God of not caring about us when we have no faith in him. We become selfish. "Carest thou not that we perish?" Well, wasn't he on the same boat? Jesus was in the same boat. I think he was a little concerned about it. But he was testing their faith. You know, every day God tests your faith. Every day God allows some trials to come into your life. And if you're doing all right, maybe he says, "I'm going to leave them alone a while." But hang on, because a trial's coming. God's going to bring you through something, not to push you away, to draw you closer. Not to show you that he doesn't care, but to show you that he does care. that he does care. But we get selfish. We only care about ourselves. Lord, don't you care that we perish? And we get the same way, you see. When our trials and when our troubles come, it's all about me. As if no one else is affected by that trial, maybe in the home or in our lives. We just care about ourselves. That's what happens when we have no faith in God. You know, it also brings fears. It brings fear. And that's the main thing about no faith. No faith, you have a life of fear. So all you do is you're fearful of everything that comes into your life. Every trial, you have no faith in God. And you begin to fear. You fear nature. You fear your circumstances that you're in. You fear every trial that comes your way, every trouble. It's just a life of fear. And we need to be careful that we realize when we have no faith, we can go day by day by day just in fear of everything that's going to happen in our lives. And we don't have to be that way. We simply need to trust God. And He'll take away that fear. We need to fear Him. You see in verse 41, it says, "And they feared exceedingly." When He finally calmed the seas and stopped the wind from blowing, and the boat was kind of sitting now on a sea of glass, and they looked at Him, and now they feared Him. That's what we need to fear. We don't need to fear the trouble that we're going through. We need to fear God. And that's what will drive us to our knees, to go to Him and have faith in what He can do through the trial. God never abandons us. He's always waiting for us to call on Him. The moment they called on Him, He got off His pillow. He calmed the seas and said, "Why are you so fearful? I'm right here in the boat." But no faith means you're going to live a life of fear. Turn to John 16:33. John 16. John chapter 16 and verse 33, it says this: "These things have I spoken unto you," Jesus said, "that in me," you ought to underline that, because that's faith. You're in Christ, you're saved, but now you have to trust in Him, "that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You want to live your life the way you want and have no faith in God, you're going to live a life of fear. You're not going to have any peace in your life. It's always going to be turmoil. There's always going to be trouble in your spirit. And if you just trust the Lord, He's able to take us through all of life's storms and all of life's troubles and give us peace in the midst of the storm, if we'll just trust Him. Have faith in God. Look at 14, chapter 14, verse 27 in John. Chapter 14 and in verse 27. Look what He says: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be a what?" Don't have fear. I'm right here with you. I want to give you my peace. You won't get it out in the world. You won't find it anywhere else. You'll find it in this book and in prayer and in what? Faith. Trusting me. I'm right there in the boat with you. Don't worry. Jesus Christ is going to take you through those troubles of your life. If you trust Him, you won't have fear in your life. There's also little faith. Little faith. Look at Matthew chapter 6. No faith, we have fear. Matthew chapter 6, what about little faith? Because most of the time we experience this. Matthew chapter 6. We can start in verse 24. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Little faith. Little faith is a life of worry. Now you might not be totally fearful, but all you do is worry and fret and concern. And sometimes you stay up late and you can't sleep and you're not able to function in your house. I mean, everybody around you is kind of wondering what's the matter with you because you have no faith and you're going through a situation and all you do is worry about it. And all of us have done that. All of us have had worry in our lives and fretting over something. And we realize, and every one of us would tell the other person if they came with that same worry in their life, you'd say, that worry's not helping you one bit. And then we go back and we worry. It's little faith. I think this is where most of us are. If we could just realize that Jesus is right there. And we don't have to worry. And really, worry doesn't help a bit. It doesn't help the situation one bit to worry about it. But going to the Lord and trusting Him and having faith in Him, great faith in Him, will take that worry away. It just goes away because now it's in His hands. You know, God cares for the birds. The sparrow falls, He knows it. You know, the birds, they don't sow or they don't spin. But you know what? They eat every day. God provides for them. The grass just grows in the field. And Solomon was not arrayed like the lilies of the field because God cares about birds and lilies. Do you think He doesn't care about us? He loves us. But we worry constantly. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How am I going to do this? How am I going to pay for that? As if God doesn't want to help us through those times. And all we do is worry. Does He really care? We wonder sometimes, does He really care? And because in let's look in verse 31. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Take no thought. The Bible simply saying, you're so anxious. You're just anxious in your thoughts all the time about, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? How are we going to get through this? How are we going to buy a home? How's it all going to work out? Well, it's going to work out. Go to God. Don't worry about it. That's little faith. Trust in the Lord. You see, we all have something right now that we're probably worried about. You might be worried about getting on an airplane in a couple of weeks. And I know I'm going to fly somewhere, and I know, what if the airplane goes down? Well, what's the worrying going to do about it? Nothing. You're going to go down worrying. But if I go down, I'm going up, right? So we don't have to worry about it. Just preach all the way down. Preach. But we do. We worry about everything. I think that bothers the Lord because He says in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's talking to His people. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things already. He already knows what we need. And He's already ready to provide it. He just wants us to trust Him. We spend a whole lot of time in worrying. Our faith must grow. You see in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And His righteousness. What's He saying? Seek me. Seek me. Don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to put on and what you're going to eat and all the things that we worry about every day and how we're going to pay this bill. Seek me. And isn't that what Hebrews 11:6 says? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently what? Seek Him. Little faith for the Christian is a life of worry. That's all it is. I'll turn to Mark chapter 14. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And look at verse 25. Jesus was just done feeding, I believe, the 5,000 here. And he sent the disciples across the sea. And look at verse 25. And in the fourth watch, that's probably around 3 a.m. in the morning of the night, Jesus went into them walking on the sea. So they're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And all of a sudden they see this figure coming towards them. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Now, I would be troubled too, and so would you. You might think it's Loch Ness Monster or something. It is a spirit, they said, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of what? Little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. You know, we doubt God's ability sometimes to care for us in the middle of the trial. I mean, Peter got out of the boat, but the moment he looked around and saw the wind and the waves, he took his eyes off the Lord. And we know this story, but we do the same thing. We think we have to control things and we can get through it if we just figure this whole thing out. Sometimes we just need to go to God and let the Lord figure these things out so that we don't have little faith and we don't begin to doubt and we don't begin to worry and worry and worry. Most of the time, we find ourselves great warriors of the faith. I have great faith until something comes up and we have to exercise that faith. Then all of a sudden we worry and bite our nails and wonder how we're going to get through this. We're all great warriors of the faith until we have to just trust God. You know, I would pray, even in my own life and in your life, that God would bring you to a place where you have nowhere to go but God. And underneath of the everlasting arms, He's never let anybody fall and He will not fail. He cannot fail. But we've never been to that place. You just trust God. You come to the place where all you have is the Almighty God. You're in a good place. You're in a good place. Because the moment Peter cried out, he reached down and he saved him. He's right there, you see. So a little faith many times changes our response to the circumstance we find ourselves in. Our little faith changes the way we respond to things. Instead of just keeping his eyes on the Lord, instead of just trusting that, where was Jesus while Peter was sinking? He was right there. He was standing right before him. But he took his eyes off the Lord who was right before him and looked at what was happening around him. And immediately he began to sink. And we do the same thing. In the midst of the trial, in the worst times is when we need to trust God. Because he's right there. He's right there. We don't have to worry. We need to keep our focus on the Lord. And what we do is we focus on the problem. You see in verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. When Jesus was right there with him. And he cried, Lord, save me. You remember the day he cried, Lord, save me. And he did. Didn't he? You remember? I remember the night that I got saved. I remember the disposition of my heart. I remember the contrition in my heart. I remember how repentant I was. But, I mean, and it has looked at my life was an absolute mess. But I knew that if I called on the name of the Lord, like someone had showed me, that he would save me. And I believed that. And I said, Lord, save me. And he did that night. And when I got off my knees, it was like the burden had lifted off of me. All my sin had been put now on him. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time of my life. It was the most wonderful time of my life when I got saved. And all I said was, Lord, save me. Have mercy on me. I don't want to go to hell. Please save me. And he did. He reached out and he picked me right up. And he'll do the same for you. But he just doesn't do it as salvation. He does it every day for us. But we live a life of either no faith and all we have is fear in our life, or a life of little faith and all we do is worry and worry and worry. And it just doesn't help at all. And you know that. And then there's great faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 8 first. I just want to show you something before we go to the Canaanite woman. But Matthew chapter 8. In verse 5, you remember this story. And when Jesus was entered, Matthew 8, 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Can you imagine the Lord amazed at what he heard? He marveled at what this centurion had said to him. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Because this centurion knew that if you just speak the word, it's done. You don't even have to come. I believe your word. And let me tell you, that's what faith is. Faith believes, recognizes the power and the authority of the word of God. If anyone should have great faith, it should be every Christian in this room. If we believe this book, then every time we come in through a trial, we say, Lord, you said. Lord, you said. You can put the ball right in his court. He says, good. Give it to me. Trust me. Have great faith in me, and I will not fail you. He was marveling at that centurion, that he would say that and say, you have that kind of authority, Lord. If you just speak, it's a done deal. Oh, the Christians would be that trusting of the Lord. Lord, you said it. I believe it. That's enough for me. And then live their life according to that. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. For great faith changes everything. Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse 21. Matthew 15, 21. Because many of us have been in some pretty dire circumstances at times, as this woman was. Then Jesus went thence, Matthew 15, 21, and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This is great faith that this woman showed. And great faith changes everything. She said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, she said back there. And she cried out, you see. She had a great burden in verse 22. There was this great burden in her life. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Don't give me what I deserve. Have pity and have compassion on me, Lord. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Please help me. Please. She had a burden. Do you have any burdens? You sure do. You don't have to share them with me. Share them with him. Take your burden to him, because that's what she did. She went to the Lord with that burden. And many of us have gone through extremely trying times. And there really, no one had the answers, did they? But Jesus. Nobody really could console us but him. Take your burden to the Lord. And when you take your burden to the Lord, because put your cares on him, because he cares for you. No one cares for you like Jesus does. I just want to tell you, this woman had a burden and she went to the right place. She went to Jesus Christ. It's something that you have to take to the Lord. You've got to take your burden to the Lord, because he's the only one that can really help you. And look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word. It's like, Where's the Lord? He's not answering. He's not speaking to me. He's not doing anything. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So the moment she didn't hear from God, she just stopped and walked away, right? She kept crying after God. She didn't stop. That was her faith. She was not going to stop crying out to God. Don't stop crying out to God. He wants you to do that. He's allowing you to do that. He wants you to keep calling out to Him, to be persistent. Don't stop calling out to God. He's right there. He's working faith, great faith in our life. And you know, frankly, desperate situations require a desperate cry. When you have a daughter or a son who's grievously vexed with a devil, just because somebody says, get her away, can you just get this woman away? The Lord has work to do. And she just kept crying after him. She wasn't going to let up. And we need to be the same way. Nothing's going to stop us when we have to get to God. We're not going to stop crying because we have a great burden. We have a great cry for the Lord. It's interesting to me that she began to worship in verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I mean, what'd she do when she worshipped? She just humbled herself right at the feet of Jesus and just fell at his feet. And by the way, that's what worship is. Complete prostration and realization of just who it is that's standing before me. We don't just walk up to God and puff out our chest. When people stood before the Lord, and when remember in the garden, they just fell back when he said, here I am. They just fell back as dead men. She came and she worshipped the Lord. She worshipped in the middle of her trials, I guess what I'm trying to say. In the middle of all the problem, she worshipped God. That's something we find foreign to us many times. We're crying out, but we forget to just worship Him for who He is. Don't forget to just worship God for who He is. She worshipped Him. Then there was perseverance. Verse 26 says, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now that would turn most of us around, I think. I don't think he wants to help me. He just called me a dog. And maybe it's time for me to leave. Maybe the Lord really doesn't want to answer my prayer. Yes, he does. What was he doing? He was just testing her faith. You're looking at a woman who had great faith. Nothing could stop this woman from getting to Jesus. Even when he says, my people are the Jewish people. I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as far as we're concerned, the Gentiles are dogs. She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus was just moved by that. Nothing's going to stop this woman. And I'm going to reward her faith. Because of her perseverance. And you know what? Nothing stops great faith. Once you get focused in on the Lord, you say, I am not stopping. I have something that only Jesus can fix. And I'm going to just keep going to Him. He will fix it. He is working great faith in our lives. And her faith was rewarded. She moved the hand of God. You can move the hand of Almighty God if you just continue to cry after Him in your burden and worship Him and continue to trust Him. He's going to do something. You can move the hand of God. You see, there's three faiths, but they each have a fruit that goes with them. There's no faith. We can live a life of fear. Everything that happens, we're fearful about this. How's this going to turn out? What am I going to do now? And some of us are in here right now wondering, what am I going to do now? Have faith in God. Don't cast your faith away. He's still there. Just like He was with Peter. You think you're sinking? Call out to the Lord. He's right there. Little faith is just a life of worry. This is where most of us find ourselves. Oh, we have faith, but we don't have great faith, but we don't have no faith. We have little faith. So I worry about this, I worry about that, I worry about this, I worry about that. Who wants a life like that? Your hair is going to get gray anyway. Why make it speed up? But great faith moves the hand of God. It's your faith that moves the hand of God. So here's the challenge. Where is your faith tonight? Okay? If we had a scale, no faith, that's a zero, really. You have no faith and you're just living a life of fear. How about, if you have little faith, maybe it's a 3, 4, 5. Or you have great faith. Are you really trusting God tonight? That's what I mean. Faith is just trusting the Lord and the Word of God. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I want to have great faith like this woman. I want to have great faith like this centurion who just said, whatever you say, it's going to happen. Whatever you say, you have the authority and the power in your word to take care of all the things in my life. Where's your faith tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that we have such a wonderful God, a great God, that we put even our little faith, Lord, in you. You can still do great things. But Lord, we want to exercise our faith. We want it to grow. We want it to get stronger. And Lord, I pray that we realize tonight, whatever it is we're going through right now, we need to continue to focus on you and not on the problem, but call upon you, Lord, and don't let anything stop us because you're waiting for us to just call upon you and trust you through any trial or problem in our life. Lord, I know that there's not one person in here that's not troubled about something in their life, but you are right there, just like you were with Peter. And really, many of us have never experienced the things that these people experienced in the Bible. But Lord, I just pray that we've learned a little bit tonight that we want to have great faith. We don't want to keep living a life of fear and worry, but know that there's peace when we just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, I pray you just put these truths into our heart, plant them in our heart, and we love you tonight, Lord. Keep working on us, Lord. We know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, and we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.